shit show. It's a fucking shit
Welcome
show.
Welcome back to Shit Show Saturday, Setsal Saturday, folks. How are we doing? Today's episode is a recording from a recent Shit Show support group. This is my online community for adult children of dysfunctional families, where we put the fun in dysfunctional. Now, if you are looking for a place to feel seen, heard, and understood like never before, then look no further than the Shit Show. If you are looking for a place where you can get real-time support and feedback from those who know exactly how you feel, then look no further than the Shit Show. If you are looking for a place where you can show up as your shit show self and be unconditionally loved, supported, and accepted, then look no further than the Shit Show. If you are looking for a place where you can find others who are committed to doing this difficult and at times extremely painful work of unshackling ourselves from the wounds of our past and becoming our true and best selves, then look no further than the Shit Show. If you are looking for a place where people embrace calling themselves recovering shit shows and enjoy cursing and can find the humor in this big old mess that we're dealing with here, then look no further than the Shit Show. See the link in the show notes to damn the join shit show. Come on, we're waiting for you. We are waiting for you, damn the join shit show. Also, please give me a little follow on the Insta, on the TikTok, at Adult Child Pod. And last but not least, and as always, give me a damn 5-star rating on Apple, on Spotify. Thank you. Love you all.
They say that I should damn the join shit show. They say that that's where people go to heal. They say that I'll feel seen and heard, like I have never felt before. So I'm going to damn the join right now.
I went and looked in the big red book, and there was, I think it was like, there were 65 times that freedom like comes up in the book. We all have been just given this really big, huge gift of freedom. We're a prisoner to our life, like in so many respects. We are kind of like hijacked by our trauma and by our childhoods until we learn that, you know, and we're truly not free. And think about all the people out there that aren't free, that are just like totally hijacked by all their woundedness. And it's such a beautiful freedom. It's like fucking hard as shit. But I just feel really grateful to know what's going on with me. Because we all know if you don't know, you can't fix anything. I wanted to share something that happened too. So how do I say this without not making it a super long story? So my closest friend, like my longest term friendship, it was about a year ago. She broke up with me. And it was essentially like, you're toxic and I don't want to be your friend anymore. And at the time, there was a part of me realizing that it wasn't me that was the toxic one. Like there was some awareness in that moment of like, that's probably like not the case, you know? But then over the past year and there being subsequent abandonment wounds that I've experienced and losing additional friendships, it's like, you kind of get to the point where you're like, how the fuck could it not be me? You know what I mean? And I'd worked through that, you know, like I had really kind of worked through that, but then it just got to the point where it's like, clearly I'm inherently flawed. Like clearly I am the problem here. And so I was like spinning out the other night. It was Tuesday. I was on the phone with Carrie and just kind of going into this like shame spiral, just feeling like that girl that nobody likes. And so then I just decided to go to a meeting. There weren't any Al-Anon meetings. And I haven't really been going to AA because I feel like it hasn't really been filling my soul. But for some reason, I just like decided to go to this one women's AA meeting that I had gone to a long time ago. And so there was this girl at the meeting who actually, and so she like texted me in the meeting, it's so good to see you. She was like the same person that hurt you did the same thing to me. And I would love to talk to you after the meeting. So we ended up talking, and how do I just like sum this up so that you get it? It's like in a nutshell, like at the end of it, she's like, I've just been wanting to reach out to you so that you could know that you weren't the problem. That it wasn't you. And like, I hadn't been to that meeting in months. She said she hadn't been to that meeting in months. So yeah, it was profound. So really trying to soak that in, you know, as much as possible.
Brought up the friend, and you know, I go through that too, where like, what is the common denominator here? You know, I have challenges with relationships, be it romantic relationships, friendships, whatever. And you know, I've gone through that same thing, you know, feeling like I'm the common denominator, like it has to be me. And you know, I would say to an extent, it's me, right? There are things about me, not that I'm an inherently flawed person, but perhaps there are things that I need to work on, communication, you know, there are definitely tools that I'm lacking. But what I did come to the, what I believe plays into this is that I've continued to pick these same people to be in my life. You know, I've continued to make the choices that are going to lead me to be hurt, disappointed, abandoned by people. So I can give myself a break as far as thinking that, you know, I'm not a good friend. I'm not a good girlfriend. I'm not a good person. The choices I've made are what have led to the ends of the relationships that haven't worked for me. And, you know, it's so funny because I too, like, I had a situation with a really good friend that I met in AA that I friends with for like 10 years, really good friends. We were super close. And as soon as we both started doing this work, something just, like, it changed. But what I've thought about is, I remember the first time I met this friend of mine, this girl that I was friends with for 10 years. I remember meeting her at an AA meeting and hearing her share about something. And I remember thinking, I want to be her friend. Right? And, you know, there was something about her and something about me. And it was that immediate attraction, because it happens in friendships as well as romantic, you know, it happens in all different types of relationships. I saw something in that person immediately. And, you know, I think it's very interesting. And she's not a horrible person. She's not a, you know, I'm not a bad person. She's not a bad person, but we definitely trauma, I would say, like, maybe like trauma bonded. And listen, all I can do is just keep trying to just be as true to myself and as authentic as I can be, and trust my instincts more, and just take a deep breath and a pause, and not be so hard on myself. That's all. I just, you know, I am not like freedom. You talk about freedom. I have to give myself a break, because it just doesn't do any good for me to sit in feelings of, you know, negativity towards myself. So thanks. Happy fourth, guys.
Yeah, I can share this whole common denominator thing. I mean, we were, you know, Andrew and I were talking about it this week, and it's, you know, you can look at things that way, but it's, you know, of course you're the common denominator because it's all happening to you. What I did learn, what I've learned about my friend picker is that it's a little bit broken. And that I need to be cautious when whatever part of me picks a friend. And I think I've said in group before that something I've noticed is that if I am instantly attracted to someone, be it for a friend or in a relationship, there's another part of me inside that knows that that person is bad news. So because I have that, you know, it's like I can sniff out trauma a mile away and I can sniff out dysfunction. And that's what I'm familiar with, right? Like all the cues are there. And so I kind of look at it like I'm like a really talented person at finding dysfunction. And so that means that I need to be more cautious and I need to back off. And take my friendships much slower. And I've shared before, I live in a place where, you know, I moved out here 3 years ago. I don't speak the language. It's really difficult for me to make connection. And then you do all of this work and you start to edit your friendships and they start to fall off. And the next thing you know, you're coming out of isolation and you're involuntarily isolated because there's no one you can relate to. And that's really difficult. You know, I have never been to an in-person meeting because, you know, there's a language barrier. I've got other obstacles here. I work by myself. I work in the house. You know, there's lots to feel really crappy about in terms of making friendships. But I've recently realized that I do want community and it's within my control to foster that community. It's not within my control to find that community, but it's within my control to try. And I had some moments today of optimism where I do see, I mean, there's lots of other things happening here. You know, my husband has a surgery date and all of that. And so there's lots of stuff that's opening up for me and moving forward. And it feels really positive in that. But I had some optimism today and I really did realize that I am still capable of finding relationships within this community, within other communities, and that I want to do that and that I'm going to try. And I saw the future and the future is bright. And I'm just going to keep going because what I've learned in my recovery, I will never unlearn. And there's more still to learn. And tomorrow could be a different day, let's face it. But today that's how I feel and I'm going with it.
You know, I'd say since probably like, maybe it has a lot to do with COVID, where I felt more disconnected from everybody, but even my friends, even my closest friends. I had several friends that I've had for many years. And I think over the course of the last 4 years, I've realized that I'm the kind of person that holds on to people, regardless of whether that's really working out or not. And especially in the past year, you know, I'm the one that we should all get together and hey, how are you doing? And when I stopped doing that, there wasn't a whole lot going on, right? It was always my initiative. And it was really hard to see. It was really hard to see that, right? That, how do I want to put it? That those people were more important to me, or at least the idea of having them was more important to me than what was real, the reality of the situation. Right now, as I'm kind of entering into this healing journey and I guess being more honest with myself about my part and what's happened to me and how it affects me, I wouldn't say that I have I maybe have one close friend. I have a sister that I'm not close to at all. I've never been close to my parents. And a few months ago, I had to ask my husband to leave the house. So I'm feeling really lonely. But I also don't want to just reach out because I'm lonely. Does that make sense, right? I need to be able to sit with myself. It's not that friendships aren't important to me right now. It's that I don't think I'm going to find the right ones in the state I'm in at the moment. On the other hand, I have a few artists in this in my community, you know, that reach out to me. We're acquaintances, I guess. And there's one woman in particular who's always asking me to get involved with this or that, or have you heard of this opportunity and do you want to do this project with me? And she's really lovely, but it's almost like I don't trust it. Why does she want to be my friend? Right? What is it about me? I feel like I've done nothing, that I'm not anything attractive, you know, as far as why? And so that's the flip side, is I don't trust myself to make the right choices and friends. And then I also don't trust that people would genuinely just like me for whatever their reasons are. So yeah, friendship as I get older is so much harder than it was. And maybe the more awake I am, the harder it is too, because I can't just, in a way, I can't let people take advantage of me the way I used to. I just can't. So yeah, that's where I'm at with friendship now. I'm okay being my own friend at the moment, but I know that that isn't a place that's good to stay either. That we need people, you know, that we need community. I just thought I'd share that.
I have another joke.
Okay.
And then I'll share.
Okay.
What do God and a codependent have in common? They both have a plan for your life. I do got some shit to say. I hate that the stupid song Celebrate comes on in my head. I hate that song. You'd never liked that. But I do have some shit to like celebrate. And part of me hates the fact that week after week I come in here and I let you all see me, and I see me as I really am. And I don't like that involves all of my different emotions, like happy and sad and confused and scared. And in my mind, I think that you think that I'm crazy and it's my job to think about what you're going to think about me. And that's the codependency right there. So I'm learning not to do that and just open my mouth. But I don't like the like roller coaster of emotions that I say with my sponsee a lot. But it's true, because my sponsor's like, that's not called the roller coaster emotion. That's just called having feelings. And like your feelings, like I said in the chat, like they are valid, but they're not facts. But I think both of those are equally as important. Because a lot of times I'll think of myself as my feelings aren't valid. Like when I'm scared in here, something came up with my job a few weeks ago and it was very dysregulating and very scary. And at the time, I remember saying out loud, how the fuck is this supposed to work out? Like, I'm a thinker, I'm a planner, I'm a doer, and none of it fits for me. And I think the whole process of the last couple weeks has been to teach me that truly, like, acceptance is the answer. That's what I tell my sponsee, and that's what I need to remember myself. And I did that, and I talked to my higher power, and he held my hand through the whole thing. And it is working out better than I thought possible. I'm getting the new job at a new place, and I thought it was still meant leaving my roommate Charles, who's like a brother to me. But we were talking last night, just shooting the shit, and he's like, I might stay at this company, which means we can stay here. So like, rather than my rent like tripling in a month, it'll be like $200 more, and I get to stay here, and I get to stay with this stupid little derpy dog that I love so much, who's like mine. But it's meant a lot to me, but I think I needed to like go through those feelings of accepting that shit can happen and it can change, and that's scary, but it's also still okay. And it is working out. And part of me feels stupid. Like, see, you shouldn't have cried in front of the group because they're all going to think you were faking it. And I know that's not true. And I'm going to speak against that. And that's not how my higher power sounds. Speaking of how our higher power sounds, last week after I shared, about 4 minutes after I shared in this very meeting, I got a phone call from my mom. Talk about like thinking it's, oh my God, this is like a God moment. Turns out, nope, it was Satan. That was a mistake, a big, big, big mistake. But I struggled for a few days trying to figure out what felt healthy to me, like to call back, to wait. And my mind started doing the thing of, well, call her tomorrow because you'll be at work and that'll be better. And then, nah, it'll probably be better after work. And then it's like, well, you should wait till the weekend. And I know that game and I know that I play with myself. And so I asked for help, shocker, but I did it. And I ended up making the call and I like bit the bullet and I called and she was like, hello, all super dramatic. And I was like, I got a call from you. And she's like, I didn't call you. So it was a butt dial. So again, Satan calling for my mom, not that my mom is Satan. You know what I mean? It was more so like a big, like flashing neon sign that like no contact has been a good thing for me. It was really reaffirming that. And it sucks because in my mind, that little kid in me is like, how could it possibly be the best plan to not talk to your mom? Like, it's my mom. How can I do that? And I kind of see different paths ahead of me. And one of them that I see like better and better every day is that like a bright future filled with healing and love and growth and like in these rooms and building these communities and growing it. And then I see the one with my family in it and it's not so bright and it feels like an anchor holding me down. And that really sucks because in my mind, I'm like, I'll be good enough so that we can force them together and everyone will be happy and that will be okay. And I am coming to again, accept that I don't think that's possible. So I am going to continue struggling through these emotions and feelings and try to figure out if no contact is best. At this time, I'm going to say that it is. That's really hard, and I don't like that. But there's been stuff I don't like that I've done, and the opposite has been true, that I had no idea how it could work out when I stopped drinking, or when I got into sloth, or when I got in this program. And thus far, it all has worked out. But because I've been honest up with all of you, so thank you for being here. I'm super fucking proud of us for doing this work because it's really hard. So thanks, y'all.
Okay, shit show dudes, you can tune out. This is for my fellow shit show ladies. Are you going through perimenopause or menopause? I'm not quite there yet, but I know that I have plenty to look forward to. Feeling like a wet sock driving down the highway. Night sweats. Poor sleep. Feeling tired all the time. Bloating. Gas. Man, can't wait for this shit. Now, if that is applicable to you, then you have to try Hormone Harmony. So Hormone Harmony is not just a supplement for women going through perimenopause, menopause, or postmenopause. It's become a phenomenon. Women cannot stop talking about it. A bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 fucking seconds, okay? Now, Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work. Now, for my younger shit show women like myself, if you struggle from that vicious week before your period, you want to crawl out of your skin, experience cravings, want to eat everything in the damn house, you feel a little bit down or off, well, Happy Mammoth also has a product for you to make it easier to manage your PMS with their Estro Control. So for a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code adultchild at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code adultchild for 15% off today.
All this friendship talk really has me thinking, especially in the last few weeks since my dad has passed, nothing tells you who your true friends are than losing somebody very close to you. I have found out who really cares about me in these last 3.5 weeks. I have friends that have reached out multiple times a week that I don't necessarily know them that well, but they want to make sure I'm okay. I know a lot of us feel like we pick the wrong people in our lives, but somehow I have picked some really good ones and I'm very fortunate. Like, as I said at the top, since I left my hometown almost three weeks ago, I haven't heard from my mom. My parents got divorced when I was 5. There was no ill feelings between them. But the fact that my mom hasn't even reached out to be like, hey, how are you doing? That part of it's difficult. But then I have to turn around and look at my friends who have reached out. I've really spiraled this week in grief. Not really sure why. Had a really good session with my therapist on Monday. And she's like, you know, the world is moving on, Mandy. And you're kind of in this alternate universe. And that's exactly how I feel. Like, I am not living in the same world as everyone else right now. I can't adult. I have a million things to do and I just can't do any of them. I just lay on the couch. Getting through a work day is very difficult. Like, how the world expects somebody to lose somebody close to them and come back to work 4 days later is just beyond my comprehension. Because this grieving is so difficult, but to have friends who are there for you, who reach out to you, ended up having to reach out to my friends and be like, I need help. I can't adult. I just need somebody to come over and sit with me while I adult. Like, to just work through my stupid stuff. Like, I leave on a trip in like 4 weeks and I have all this lead up work to do and I can't do it. It should be exciting. And I'm just not. I'm excited for the trip, but I just can't bring myself to do any of these super simple things right now. I just feel like I'm not in my body right now. I don't know. It's really hard to explain. And I'm sure some of you have dealt with this grief and know what I'm talking about. It's just so weird and so hard to deal with. And I'm really glad I can be in this group. I'm really glad I can vent this out. And I'm really glad that I have good people in my life. And I really hope that all of you have some really great people that can help you in your worst times. Because I'm telling you, they are worth everything to me. So thank you.
I'll go. I don't really have anything to share, really. But I feel like I haven't talked in a long time. I'll just share that I hate the 4th of July. At the same time, I'm exactly where I prefer to be on the 4th of July. I stay home and turn on the fans on the TV and keep the cats calm. My son is, I don't know where, out with friends. My daughter is at her dad's, and I just don't like this holiday. There's something about it that gives me anxiety. It's like, so the weather's perfect, it's quiet, it's peaceful, like there's no traffic, there's no gardeners in the neighborhood, but it all leads up to it getting dark and things exploding. And I fucking hate it so much. It's just, I don't know, it just creates this weird anxiety, and I feel like I've had it my whole life because my parents used to have these big 4th of July parties, you know, where the adults were like drinking all day and then they'd blow shit up in our backyard, and it just was probably chaos. So anyway, I'm glad everyone's doing all the things in my family that they want to do, and I get to stay home and watch TV, and I don't know, I might make some corn on the cob later, but like, yeah, alcohol and fire, what could go wrong? Yeah. And like, being a mom, like, my kids are 18 and 16 now, but like, so many of my 4th of July memories are being the uptight mom annoying everybody, because I'm like, oh god, they're just so close to the fireworks, and oh, there's a campfire, and all the adults are drinking, and yeah, I hate it. So anyway, nothing profound or no aha moments. Just I'm actually looking forward to tomorrow actually being a work day, so it feels a little bit more routine and normal. It's too quiet, I guess.
Nice. go and make your singular corn on the cob now.
So I just have a couple of stories. Katie inspired me. A childhood story when we were feral. Somebody stuck a M80, which is like a quarter stick of dynamite, in a Coke can and lit it on fire. And then there was shrapnel everywhere. We're so lucky nobody died or went blind, but one kid had to go to the hospital because he had a huge piece of aluminum like in his side. I mean, it was just totally insane. And the parents are like inside drinking, and we're literally, you know, it's like warfare on the street. And then for the 4th of July, I don't know if anyone's Scottish, but I follow this guy on Twitter who's Scottish, and he has this little meme. They call it Independence Day. A named holiday? Yeah, to grill meat, get drunk, and blow stuff up. What would a Scot call it? Wednesday. Anyway, so... And I guess we're feeling free to make jokes. On the friendship front, yeah, a lot of my long-term friendships have ended as I've like grown up and like not wanting to be their therapist. And it's really hard to make friends. And the friends I have now are sort of situational, like my mom's group. We just kind of stayed together. I don't know if I would have picked them. They're not bad. We're pretty open with each other. But I don't know. I don't know if they would have been the chosen friends. It became situational. And then I still get together with my sons. We call ourselves the band moms. We're getting together. I don't know. But if I cut everyone off, then I'll have no friends. So it's a dilemma. So my whole life, I always had soul friends, like a soulmate friend. And those friends have fallen away. Like we became sick of each other. I don't know who was growing. Maybe they were growing and I wasn't, or I was growing and they weren't. But it became like a bad marriage. So I do have some sadness. I mean, I don't have a deep relationship with an intimate partner. It's easier for me to accept that, and it's harder for me to accept that I don't really have a soul friend anymore. So with that, I'll pass. Thanks, everyone.
Me too. I that hits.
I'll share something. I haven't fully processed. It's very new. I haven't fully processed it, but I'll share the event. I was standing and looking at myself in the mirror, and I couldn't believe it. I realized that in my whole life, I've never looked into my eyes. I've looked at my eyes like putting on mascara, eyeliner. I've looked at my face for a long time. I had severe body dysmorphia. At one point, I weighed close to 300 pounds, and it's taken me more than a decade to get to the point where I see my body as it is. And on an aside, what I started doing after this last crash and the space of recovery that I'm in now, when I went out, I would take Polaroid, I'm just from a different generation. Just forgive me. A selfie. A selfie of myself full figure. Because I'd never done that before. And gradually, I saw myself. And it played a big part in just seeing myself, my body as it is. But my eyes... I realized that I had never looked in my eyes. And when I looked at myself in the mirror and I realized that, I immediately looked down. And as I've become closer to people who are friends. A friend told me that I never looked at her in the eyes. I was always looking down. I didn't realize that. So I looked down and I caught it and I looked at myself and I looked in my eyes and I started to bawl. And I looked down and breathed, caught my breath. I looked up again and I looked in my eyes and I cried again. So I've been thinking about what happened there, that after this long lifetime I've had, I never looked in my eyes. And what did I see? And I've been thinking about who I saw when I looked in my eyes. And I realized that the who I saw when I looked in my eyes is not the me now. The me now is more mindful, more grown up, understands more fully her personal power, that my choices are unlimited. They're only limited by my fears. So I was thinking, who was I looking at? And I was looking at myself in my 40s, 50s, and 60s. And I was looking at a woman who was so utterly tired, just exhausted, just nothing to draw from. And that I made that connection to my last May of Deer suicide attempt, which was not an attempt. It was a real thing. She was so tired. And then I looked at her some more and I realized something. All the things that I've gone through, and for instance, a really crappy, bad marriage that I just kept trying. If I just do better, he'll love me. I see that I used to grieve over it, cry over it. I used to be ashamed of it when I unwittingly told friends that he beat me, because that was normal to me. That's what I saw my father do. And they were surprised and wanted some, sent me literature on battery, and I cut them off. But looking at that woman in the mirror, I realized something about her. All she's gone through, my marriage. Okay, I criticize myself because I stayed in that marriage for a quarter of a century, 25 years, until he started beating my daughter, and that was the end of it. But you know what? I did that based on what I knew and didn't know. I did that based on the examples and what I was told growing up. So it's not my character flaw. It's not my character flaw. I was a baby, I was programmed, and that's the world I lived in. But there was something inside me that I got out of that marriage. I got out of it through my own will, my own planning, my choice. And my mother stayed with my father until he died of alcoholism. I mean, they were married for over 50 years. So I looked again and I cried again and I looked at her and I stood, I overcame my fear, my doubt, my confusion, and I decided to be brave. And I told her that I am so grateful for her strength all those many years. And I'm grateful for what she endured and came through, because I came through a lot, like you all. We're sitting here today, we've all come through a lot. And I think what I saw looking in the mirror, I thanked her, because with the limited skills that she had in terms of confidence, in terms of social skills, in terms of boundaries, I came through it, and I'm sitting here and I'm sharing this with you all. So I realized, I told her she could rest now. And I promised her that the me now, I'm in charge. I'm in charge. And and it's changed something in my whole energy and moving. I'm less fearful. It hasn't all gone away because that's still part of me, but I can recognize it now and not see it as a flaw. I'm broken. I'm messed up. I'm no longer a shit show. And that's where we are all working to make that term that maybe was applied to us or synonyms that we're messed up, that we're shit shows, because we're proving that we're moving through it, that we're not, we've experienced it. And Mike, I tell you, my man, I am so happy to see you. I was worried about you. I was thinking about you, and you did what I prayed that the universe would let you do, would be able to sit with it and not go back to the fear and what we did to ourselves in that state of fear. I prayed to the universe, and today, seeing you today, I am so happy because you did it. You know, you did it through your own choice, your own will, your own mindfulness. You're sitting with it rather than making a judgment about the outcome. Man, I love you. And again, when I started this, you were my energizer. And you still are, my man. I love you all. This group has given me my life. I can't tell you, I am alive. I am alive. And I have peace and I have joy. Good God. Who would believe it? My friends, when I was in college, I was an undergraduate. The common talk was that I would be dead by 30 by suicide. That's how I was just this damage. But we can heal. And you know what? The greatest thing about this healing, it's I can choose it. It's up to me to keep practicing, and I'm practicing. And I'm practicing right now because I'm looking at you all with this joy. You guys, you're doing it right. How the doubts will come, the roadblocks. That's part of life. And for me, it's been, somebody used the word like muscle training, is I'm stronger each time I catch those things. And that woman that I looked at in the mirror who was just so worn out, she trusts me. I could feel that when I said it to her, I didn't say I'll try. I said, thank you, and I'm grateful to you, and I've got it now. This is our Independence Day, and every single moment of the day, unlike once a year, every single moment that we are mindful and we choose ourselves, that's our Independence Day. Love you all.
Love you, Sandra.